Welcome to Cherry Beckard's podcast. My name is Bryn McNeil, and I'm an audit partner in our GovCon industry group. Along with me today, I have John Yeer, who is a tax partner in our GovCon industry group. Both John and I work with a number of 8A contractors, so understand the intricacies and nuances of dealing with the federal government quite well. We are continuing with our 8A series for government contractors, and today we'll be highlighting the compliance requirement 8A companies must follow once they have become 8A certified. This is the third podcast in our series, so if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first two podcasts, you can easily find those on our website at cbh.com. We also have an abundance of other thought leadership and guidance on our website that may be good resources for you and your company as well. So let's get to it. Each year throughout the 9-year 8A program, 8A participants must submit an annual review, which is Form 1450. It is essentially a recertification application that determines whether you still meet the 8A program eligibility requirements. It also tracks your business development progress and whether you are complying with the many ongoing 8A program requirements. As part of this review, you will need to update all information and data submitted in your original 8A application. You'll have to submit backup documents to support the updated application information and data, provide details on all 8A contracts you are currently performing, submit the prior year company financial statements and tax returns, and develop and submit projections regarding the 8A and non-8A contracts you expect to be awarded during the upcoming 8A program year. John, I'll turn it over to you to talk through the form itself in a bit more detail.
Great, thanks, Bryn. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us again. As Bryn mentioned, this annual update is a big deal for our 8A clients because they have to fill this out and they have to make sure that if they're falling underneath these thresholds and they're still meeting the requirements to participate in the 8A program, at least through the 9 years that potentially they would be eligible for it. As she mentioned, this is the form, the SBA form 1450. It also refers to a few forms inside of that. And one of those is the personal financial information. It's SBA form 413. It's basically a financial statement that each owner needs to provide. And also if the spouse would also need to include that if the spouse is an owner. So if we have two spouses owning the same company, that each have to fill out one of these forms. And what the SBA is looking for here, as you may remember in a previous podcast, we talked about the requirements to qualify for the 8A program. The 8A program is for disadvantaged businesses. Economically disadvantaged is a big part of that. And so the SBA wants to continue to ensure that the participants in the program are still economically disadvantaged. And that's part of why we're filling out this form every year. And so the same regulations, the same restrictions that an owner and a business that is required to get into the program, those are the same ones they're required to maintain or be under in order to remain in the 8A program. And so just to review those again, and maybe in a little bit more detail, one of those tests is a personal income test, and that's for each business owner. And the business owner must maintain a three-year average adjusted gross income, so this is on their individual return, of $350,000 or less. And as you may remember, last July, the SBA updated many of these numbers. And so it's much easier now to be in the programs, you know, achieve eligibility in the program, then maintain eligibility in the program because of these heightened restrictions. This was 250 before, and now it's 350. So that's very helpful. A second test is a net worth and total assets test. And this is examining the business owner's net worth and total assets. So two different tests, really. The net worth is set at $750,000. This test excludes the value of a primary residence. It also excludes the ownership interest in the 8A firm in the company that is applicable here. And it also does not include the qualified retirement accounts, as long as there's a penalty for early withdrawal. Those are still not included there. for total assets. That 750 test used to be 250, so it was bumped up quite a bit, which is also very helpful. The total assets test is that the total assets of the participants must remain below 6 million. It used to be 4 million, so that's again another nice bump up. And this is on the business owner's total assets that they own. Again, it does not include a qualified retirement account, but you know, depending on how we value the ownership interest in the company, we want to make sure that that's done correctly and captured well, so that we have a valid calculation on that amount. And then finally, we have an excess withdrawal issue where to avoid, so there's excessive withdrawal rules, and the SBA has deemed that if company sales, the sales of the company, gross receipts exceed 2 million, then the annual limit for a partner or an owner's withdrawal is 400,000. This does not include withdrawals that are made to pay taxes. So a lot of our 8A clients are pass-through entities. And so, as you know, the net income flows in on a K-1 on their individual returns, and they have to pay tax on that. So we can take withdrawals to pay the tax on that's coming through on that K-1, and that does not go towards that 400,000. So there's different calculations. We want to make sure that we're including and excluding different things on that. If the company does not have gross receipts of 2 million, then that bar goes down. So for up to $1 million, the withdrawal, the excess withdrawal limit is 250, and for gross receipts between 1 million and 2 million, that limit is 300,000. So, and what we do for our clients is when we prepare the tax return, we actually have a big spreadsheet that we've got, and we'll fill in this data. And especially for the personal income that spans 3 years on the average, we'll do some planning. We'll fill this in every year and give it to our business owners so that they understand where they're at on this threshold. There are some things we can do to help mitigate that, maybe keep them in the program another year or two, depending on how income is shifting and different things we can do. What we can't do, as I think Susan discussed last time, is we can't change a year-end date, and we can't change a tax year and try to do some cute maneuvering in the final year to try to slide under the threshold the next year. The SBA does not allow that. So this kind of spreadsheet, this kind of planning is really important so that we can hit the ground running when we graduate from the 8A program.
Awesome. Thanks, John. So in addition to just submitting the annual review and going through all the wonderful information that John just talked about, companies are also required to submit financial statements. So 8A participants with revenue greater than $10 million must submit annual audited financial statements, and those are really due within 120 days of the company's fiscal year end. 8A companies that have revenue between $2 million and $10 million are required to submit annual reviewed financial statements, and those are due within 90 days of a company's fiscal year end. And then if you are an 8A company and you have revenue of less than $2 million, you are required to submit in-house or compiled financial statements for the year, and those are also due within 90 days after the company's fiscal year end. So it's really important and critical that companies do stay compliant once they have their 8A certification. You'll want to stay up to date on your current eligibility requirements and really address any issues that potentially could cause you to lose your 8A status. Just remember that for 8A companies and your certifications, it's really a one-time opportunity. So if you lose it, you can never get it back. So it's really critical and important that you're staying compliant after you do go through all of the effort to get that certification. John, thanks again for joining me today. Cherry Beckard will be doing further 8A podcasts in this series, and we hope that you will join us for those as well. They will be posted on our website at cbh.com. As always, if you have any questions or needs, please feel free to reach out to us. We're always here to help and answer any questions or issues that any of you may have. Thanks so much for joining us.